Our next case is Marilyn Daniel versus the City of Colorado Springs, case number 2012 SC 908. Again, argument is set for 44 minutes, and 22 per side, and a little yellow light goes on at 7.5 minutes. Same admissions, I see both attorneys here for the other two cases. So are both parties ready? And then we'll hear from the petition.
Thank you, Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I'm Nelson Boyle, and I'm here on behalf of Marilyn Daniel, and in the case of Marilyn Daniel versus the City of Colorado Springs. I had prepared an opening, but I had been listening to the questions of the court, and I think rather than go along with the opening that I prepared, I'd like to walk through the section or the phrases in the statute and ask the court questions on those sections of the statute. I would say that a golf course parking lot located in a public park or recreation area is a public facility, and that there is immunity for that. But paragraph of CRS 2410-1061 waives immunity for any dangerous condition of any public facility in any park or recreation area maintained by a public entity. In my case, the maintained by a public entity is not an issue, and at least at this point, and the dangerous condition is not an issue. And since the trial court adopted the facts as argued in the response to the motion to dismiss, the fact that the parking lot is in the park and recreation area is not an issue. That was referred to in the record of page 24, paragraph 6.
Could I ask you just to flesh that out, since we've gone back and forth all morning long about what's actually a matter of fact and what's the law? Can you tell us a little bit about that holding? What did he mean? What did the court mean when it said this was in the recreation area?
In my case?
Yes.
In my case, the trial court actually ruled with about one line that said, for the reasons and authorities argued in the response.
So we don't really know if, I mean, for all we know, that's a legal determination on the trial court's part, that the recreation area that has a parking lot attached to it should be considered broad enough to include the parking area as well.
I think it might depend on the case. I'm not sure here, since there was no Trinity here in the map of the City of Colorado Springs parks, for instance, or if you go to Google Earth and you look, the parking lot appears to be inside the line. But those facts were developed in the trial court. So all we had was in paragraph 6 of the response, the plaintiff had said, that it was in the recreation facility instead of area. And then in the complaint, there was an Exhibit A attached, and that was also attached to the response. And that was the letter, the notice letter to the city about the injury, the GIA notice letter. And in that, it stated that the injury occurred in the recreation. So, I mean,
the reason I ask is to get this sort of focus, because it seems to me this case sort of presents the broad question, is a parking lot that is attached to or just outside or contiguous with, for the purpose of people who are to use a recreation area, should that be considered in the recreation area or not? I mean, this clearly is not, I'm assuming, is not a question where there is golf course all around the parking lot, so we could say it's within the perimeter of the parking lot. What we're really talking about here is how should we treat a golf course that is there for the purpose of people coming to a a recreation area, is it not, or is that not at least one of the questions?
I guess, you know, that's why I said it depends on the case. I think that here, I mean, yes, it's a parking lot, and in this case, the parking lot, the golf course kind of, it appears, you know, surrounds like two-thirds of the parking lot, but doesn't, you know, it's not right in the middle of the golf course. But those facts never then were developed in the case. But here, this was, Marilyn Daniel was going to hear a speech by a congressman at the clubhouse of the golf course. She wasn't going to golf. The city was hosting that speech. And, you know, the definition of recreation in the White case, it's White versus ICAO, there's a good definition by this court of the word recreation, and that definition would appear to include, you know, going to speeches or other things, because it's you know, it's not just sports recreation. You know, people do read books to recreate the mind, to have a pastime that's different than work. And so she was going to this speech. The crowd is overflowing into the parking lot. And so the speech hosted by the city of Colorado Springs, arguably she wouldn't have made it into the building, and she would have attended it in the parking lot. And so now the parking lot is not just a parking lot, it's the location of the speech. Under these facts, then it's not just a golf course, it's a speech location. And that gets to some of the hypothetical questions that have been asked today about marbles and skateboarding. You know, if kids were skateboarding in this parking lot and a kid hit the pothole, well, it's since the parking lot is in the park of recreation area, and the kid hits the park, the pothole and gets injured, then that would be under the waiver provision. Did that answer your question?
Sure.
Can I just follow up on that? Can I get you to run through your theory of your case? Presumably, the dangerous condition is the pothole.
Correct.
Yes.
And it's of any public facility. What do you identify as the public facility? Is it the clubhouse, and the parking lot is integral to the clubhouse, or? Because I guess I'm assuming located in any park or recreation area, that's the golf course generally.
Okay, I think there's a couple of questions.
Okay,
I don't
get
to all of it, please.
Okay. Correct.
So I guess I can start to say that the word public facility is limited in the second sentence of the paragraph by what is a natural condition of an unimproved area. So I would start with the parking lot is an improved area, but it's also not a natural condition. So it would be a public facility if it's within the boundaries of the park and recreation area. The city, having accepted the facts as pleaded, would make the parking lot be within the park and recreation area in this case. That seems to be a concession to me. I think that the other portion of your question is it just a parking lot? Is it a parking lot attached to the clubhouse, or is it a parking lot of the golf course, or serving the golf course? Well, one, those facts were completely developed in below, but I would say that it's kind of all of those. This doesn't really help the court, but here you have a parking lot that's within the boundary of the park and recreation area, and that's where the injury occurs, but it also is where the speech is happening. So.
Well, I guess, so are you adopting the definition of public facility as any improvement, man-made improvement? Is that your definition? Therefore, the parking lot fits within that?
I would say it's broader than that.
It's broader than any man-made improvement?
Well, if you look at the one exception that the legislature's given to a public facility in this section of the statute, and they didn't limit it anywhere else in the GIA, it's anything but a natural condition of an unimproved area. So if you thought an unnatural condition of an unimproved area may fall within public facility, natural condition of an improved area, I don't know exactly how that would work, but if that, you know, existed, then there'd be a waiver there. And then, you know, here, I think the parking lot, it's improved and it's unnatural, so I would say that it falls within that.
Okay, thank you. But would you concede then that one of the requirements is that this particular parking lot has to be within the boundaries of the recreation facility? So if we had a golf course and the parking lot were across the street and not within those boundaries, would the waiver still apply?
If the parking lot was not within the boundaries, I don't think this waiver would apply. I haven't considered that question for other waivers because those aren't part of this case. But I would say that to hit on another point that my opponent I think will bring up. There's this case involving a prison. It's the PAC case. And that's under the operational, one of the operational waivers, and it comes under the operation of the prison. And even there's no mention of the word parking facility. Parking facility doesn't appear in the entire statutory scheme. But in that case, the court held, the Court of Appeals held, that the parking facility wasn't integral to the operation of the prison. But that was an operational waiver, and the operation is defined in Section 103, and dangerous condition is also defined there. And so I think that the legislature really drew out the difference between the operational waivers and the dangerous condition waivers. And so that case wouldn't really help the court here. And also, I don't think that the word parking facility don't appear anywhere in the statute, so I don't think that the Jones case or the case below was decided correctly because they appear to have written those words into the statute. But the idea that the legislature would want each of these waiver provisions to be thought of the exact same doesn't make sense to me, because as lawyers, we know that language is the key to our profession, and if they wanted all the waivers to be the same, they would have had one waiver.
Could I ask you just to tell me what you think the Court of Appeals decided this case on? What did they say?
In this case? Mm-hmm. The Court of Appeals adopted the Jones decision and said that there's no waiver for public parking facilities.
So they just basically, without regard to location, they just said you can't be treating public parking facilities different, and because the legislature got rid of the previous language about parking facilities, we think they did not intend to include public parking facilities as public facilities. Is that, or is that too broad?
I believe that's about what they said. I mean, my reading of that opinion below is that, well, one, they adopted the Jones case. They say that they adopted here. But they do use phrasing that says, the parking lot serves the park or the public recreation area, and they don't say it's in the public recreation area. So that could be construed reading those that they found differently than the trial court. But the trial court's adoption of the response and the implication of the trial court's order is that the parking lot had to be inside the park or recreation area under the statute, or otherwise the plaintiff would have lost at the motions level. And so to reach that, the Court of Appeals would have had to find clear error, and I don't see that in there, so I don't read the cases as overruling the factual finding of the trial court.
If I can restate for you.
Okay, sorry.
And I'm still a little bit confused about this, but it seems like the Court of Appeals did not, as I think you're saying, they did not rule on the basis of whether the parking lot was in the recreation area. They pretty much decided it on the basis of public parking lots not qualifying. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And then your argument is, well, that's wrong, and we should fit within the provision that deals with public facilities located in a public, a park or recreation area, but then you want to say, but the park, the question whether it's in the recreation facility is not up for debate, because that's already been decided down below. So we have to take that. And so the only question is whether this is a public facility. Is that kind of your argument?
That is my argument. I would say that, you know, if the court found clear error in the fact finding and wasn't happy with the fact finding below, it could be remanded to the trial court for a Trinity hearing to figure out if the park was in the park or recreation area. But beyond that,
can I stay on that? Was it? I thought it was decided on a motion to dismiss.
It was.
So how could there be any fact finding? Well, they accepted all the facts, whatever was alleged, right? In the complaint.
Yes, sir.
So really, your argument is that based on the ruling below, as I understand, is that am I?
Yes. Okay. There's no more questions right now. I think I'll reserve the rest of my time.
You may. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Eric Lamper, attorney registration number 3787, on behalf of the respondent, the City of Colorado Springs. This case presents a narrow issue of whether immunity under 2410-1061E is waived for a public parking lot that services a public golf course. This question should be answered in negative, and the Court of Appeals order reversing the trial court's denial of the city's motion to dismiss should be affirmed for the following two reasons. First, a review of case law reveals a long-standing precedent stands for the proposition that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. Daniels is asking this court to make an arbitrary departure from this precedent to find that immunity is waived under subsection E. Additionally, Daniels is asking this court to find that there is an implicit waiver under subsection 8 for public parking facilities when no express waiver exists. Additionally, as the Court of Appeals found, Daniels is asking this court to conduct a parking lot by parking lot examination in order to determine whether or not immunity is waived under subsection 8 or other subsections. Additionally,
if you've listened to these other arguments too and the broader question we're dealing with, isn't that sort of what we're faced with generally with this provision of a public facility located in a park or recreation area? That is something that would not be, immunity would not be waived with regard to if it happened outside the area, but it is within the area. So hasn't the legislature definitely done that with regard to some things?
I certainly think you can look to the plain reading of the plain language of subsection E and say that the phraseology that it has to be a dangerous condition of a public facility located in a recreational area has meaning. And so in that regard, location is one of those words. I think more broadly, you have to look at how subsection E was previously written. And as previously noted today, it was essentially that immunity was waived unless expressly retained. Here in 1986, they removed public parking facilities, so they were aware of that phraseology. And they completely revamped subsection E to state that immunity is retained unless expressly waived. So in that regard, again, to your question, location matters, but as far as public parking facilities, it doesn't. A public parking facility, whether it services a recreational area, whether it services a correctional facility, as it did in Pack versus Arkansas Valley Correctional Facility, the Court of Appeals case, or a school in Stanley versus Adams County School District, serves the same purpose. There is absolutely no reason to find that one that services a recreational area, a golf course, should have immunity waived, whereas a parking lot that services another type of public facility should have immunity for the things occurring in the parking lot. There's no reason or justification to make this artificial and truly arbitrary exception under the CGIA. Again, I say that I think that's an absurd result. And I think it's arbitrary. Additionally, you have
Let's try common sense here now. You know, the golf course, the park, whatever it is, and I have a parking area for the public. Why did the legislature, when it was looking at this, want to consider it as a unit, you know? The clubhouse is a great example to me because there are lots of public events at a clubhouse that don't involve golfing, but the whole recreation community, the social gathering, the meetings that occur in there, and the parking facilitates the public facilities. Now, don't we have to look at a logical, common sense unit here as opposed to the natural condition of the unimproved ground that the legislature is saying that it wanted to waiver for a dangerous condition, I would add that.
I think you have to look at each and every word that's in subsection E, and that is that the public facility has to be located in the recreational area. There's our contention that a parking lot can never be located in a recreational
area. That is what defies common sense to me. I just don't get that.
Can I just, a technical question, not a bigger philosophical. Did you concede that, at least for the purpose of the motion to dismiss? The location?
No.
You did not?
We did not, Your Honor. What we conceded was that there was an injury occurred to Ms. Daniels in the parking lot of the Valley Heights Golf Course.
But it wasn't within the recreational city of Colorado Springs, whatever, the golf course?
We conceded that we own and operate that golf course. But again, the located in portion of this was not conceded for purposes of our motion to dismiss.
Thanks. And could I follow up just with that real quick? So, and is that because, I think I know the answer to this from what you said, is that because the golf course didn't surround it, so it wasn't physically within the perimeter, or because it can never be part of the recreational area?
I think you look at the case law, Your Honor, and again, it's Court of Appeals case law, but it is persuasive, and there is a broad understanding that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. Additionally, I think the finding that it's located in or not located in the recreational area is a legal conclusion. We agree to the facts that were alleged in the complaint. Getting to your point about Justice Hobbs, regarding the clubhouse, in order to determine where a public facility must be, we have to look at what the recreational area is, because of course it has to be located in the recreational area. Mm-hmm. And then we can turn to it and look at its definitions, where it finds that a recreational area is a place where a person can engage in sport or similar activities. I think another definition that has been cited is that it has to be necessary, suitable, or proper for sports or similar activity. And I think that comes from CRL's 29.
Picnicking is not recreational, is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Picnicking is not a sport, and therefore it's not recreational. I'm not just not following this. Recreational is something where you have to do a sport.
I think that's what Denmark tells us.
I'm interested in the legislative policy for this and a common sense interpretation of what they intended by the waiver scheme. Recreation is far broader than engaging just in hitting the golf ball, in my opinion, when you go to a facility that's offering card game in the recreation facility, any kind of gathering, social gathering?
I think it's...
Sitting on the bar stool?
Well, I think it's possible that some of those activities could be considered recreational areas. And the court also has to remind itself that subsection E says located in a recreational area or park. So to your example of some of those activities could engage in a park. But ultimately, we are looking at the surface of that area in order to determine where the public facility has to be. Under no circumstance can a public parking lot be located in this area where recreation can occur, where playing cards to playing a game of golf could occur. There's no evidence on the record that Danielle was engaged in golf or intended to play golf, or that she was otherwise recreating when she went. But I think more important...
The recreational activity of politics.
A very broad reading.
But we see it every day in the media.
I think the important part of this is that it doesn't hinge on the intent of the injured party. It relates to the intent or the intended purpose of the property for the property owner. So in this particular case, Valley High is a golf course. The intended use is for individuals to come there and to play golf. The parking lot is merely an ancillary, secondary place for an individual to park their vehicle so that they can engage in the recreational activity.
Does Valley High serve drinks? Does it have a bar?
That's a good question, Justice Rice. I'm not aware.
I've never been to a golf course that didn't have a bar.
This one is operated by the city, so I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. If that goes to the question of whether...
So if you go and you play around the golf and then you have a drink, you're okay, but if you just go there for a drink, you're not?
Again, Your Honor, I don't think it has anything to do with the activity of the injured party or what their intent was to going to the recreational area.
My question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and perhaps I have, and I apologize for that, but doesn't it sort of suggest that perhaps we, in a very law school way, can walk you down a primrose path and get you into an absurd position? What's the principle that you're trying to expound here that you want us to write in an opinion? So we can tell everybody else, here's how you figure this out.
Your Honor, I think you can start with the holding in Jones. And Jones correctly interpreted the 1986 amendment that public parking facilities, immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. There is no indication that the General Assembly had any disagreement with that judicial interpretation of subsection E. I think that's first and foremost what this court can take away. Secondarily, I think looking to not only the cases that cite Jones, but the plain language of subsection E, it is one of specific words, and the public facility must be located in the recreational area. Under no circumstances do I think a parking lot can be located in a recreational area.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up question on it? Are you saying that simply because you're circling it back to Jones, the notion that immunity is waived for all parking lots regardless of location, or are you simply saying there can never be a park with a parking lot inside the boundaries of the park or a recreation area?
The latter. I'm saying Jones correctly found that when subsection E was amended in 1986, that it correctly interpreted the General Assembly's intent to retain immunity for public parking facilities. And that, my second point is that a parking lot can never be located in a recreational area.
And I'm thinking just off the top of my head, a parking lot next to the boathouse in Washington Park, which is located within the park. I mean, there is actually a parking lot within the boundaries of the park next to the boathouse facility. So I think it's a parking lot, there certainly could be a parking lot within the park bounds. Yeah, and then that would just depend on whether, in the special scenario, this parking lot is within those bounds.
I don't think the court has to consider the actual location of the park. I don't think that, or excuse me, of the parking lot. I don't think the location of the parking lot matters whatsoever.
But that's only if we agree with Jones. And we're not bound by Jones because that's a court of appeals opinion.
That is correct, but I also think that this court is potentially reaching an absurd result. I don't think the General Assembly is intending an absurd result by finding that immunity would be waived for a public parking lot servicing a recreational area, whereas one that services a correctional facility or a school, immunity would be retained. I look at it, I think this situation is best shown by a good illustration. Assume that there's a parking lot that services not only the school, but also a recreational area. So if the court were to find that the parking lot service the recreational area, immunity would potentially be waived, as Daniel would have it. Whereas if the parking lot service the school, understanding immunity would not be waived. I think that's an absurd result. The parking lot is a parking lot, regardless of what it serves. I think the court can look to how other laws or other sections in the CGIA has treated the same subject matter, in this case, a parking lot, and determine that the court described a harmonious, consistent, and sensible approach. And I believe that is the end result in this particular matter. In order to reach a consistent, harmonious result, that immunity is retained for a parking lot that services a recreational area.
But isn't Stanley up for consideration by us as well? I mean, part of your argument is we should be bound that this couldn't apply to the park. It wouldn't make sense to do that and yet not have it apply to a school or a jail or whatever. But isn't the question whether it would similarly apply to a school or a jail part of our question?
Stanley not only addressed subsection E, but also addressed subsection C and D. In Stanley, it was a driveway that went to the cafeteria of a school. It also doubled as an area for delivery drivers to park their vehicles. So the court found that there was no immunity in this subsection.
But I guess what I'm saying is we're not bound by Stanley, right? So
you're not, Your Honor, but I do think it stands for, I do think there is persuasive authority, and I think the reasoning in that case is sound. So that is why I noted.
I guess what they're asking me is, let's just pretend we don't have any court of appeals authority. Let's just look at the statute. Can you make an argument from the statute itself, not looking at court of appeals authority, just from the statute, we would say that there's a special role for parking lots, which I think I take your argument for, where parking lots are kind of a unit that should be treated separately.
I think my argument is twofold. One, that parking lots should be treated separately because they have been decided in other case law. But just to the plain language of subsection E, you have to look at every single word there as a public facility located in a recreational area. And in order to determine whether something is located in a recreational area, I think we start with the definition of a recreational area. And the guidance that we have is found in Denmark. We're found that a recreational area is an area where an individual can engage in sport or similar activity. I don't think, or excuse me, under no circumstances can a parking lot be located in a recreational area. So regarding this specific instance where we're talking about a golf course, possibly a bathroom or a bench, something that rises from the surface of the recreational area could be a public facility. The parking lot, in all circumstances, whether it's surrounded by high portions of the golf course or if it's adjacent to the golf course, cannot be located in.
But recreational area is not defined, correct? The statute doesn't say that a recreational area is where a sports activity takes place.
The CGIA is not correct.
Correct. So we do have to interpret what the legislature meant by a recreational area. An area is kind of a physical, geographical location. Recreation, we might have to look at what the forms of recreation are that humanity enjoys in the state of Colorado to determine whether this is a public recreational area. Then we have to decide whether or not there is something, a dividing line between the natural condition of unimproved ground and a facility, a public facility, which is, so we've got to give effect to all of those. And finally, we have to determine it's a dangerous condition for there to be a way, correct?
Correct.
So we can't just seize on recreational area. Parking lots can never be in a recreational area, right? Unless you can point to a definition, which you can.
I cannot point to a definition in the CGIA. All I can do is rely upon the case law that we have, understanding again that it's Court of Appeals case law interpreting this.
Yeah,
this subject.
And it's also clear that a park is something that has some kind of identifiable dimension, perhaps. We'll see what happens when we have to parse this. Whereas a recreational area is also used. So what did the legislature mean by recreational area in addition to a park? You admit we have to look at that distinction as well.
I do, Justice Hobbs. I think how this court looks at this, under no circumstance, again, the facts before this court, is there any evidence that anyone engaged in any type of recreational activity in the parking lot? I don't think the intended use of the parking lot was one for recreation.
A dangerous condition of a public facility located in a recreational area. Where does that say that the recreation has to occur in the facility, in the particular area of the facility?
Your Honor, my position is that a parking lot is always going to be ancillary to the recreational activities. So the public facility must be from the grounds of the recreational area. It cannot
the
be
space within the public facility used for recreation. That's what you would like us to say.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Lamphere, what do I do with, and I understood Mr. Boyle to say that there was an overflow into the parking lot to hear the speech. Is then the parking lot part of the recreational area? I mean, we don't have a factual finding with regard to that. Maybe I misunderstood Mr. Boyle, but I thought that was part of his argument.
I believe that was part of his argument. I think the complaint does set out that it did overflow onto the parking lot. But again, that doesn't transform the parking lot beyond what its intended authorized uses, and that is the park vehicles. And that doesn't necessarily transform that area of the parking lot to an area located in the recreational area.
Thank you.
I see the red lights on. I do think, unless there's any additional questions, I do think that the Court of Appeals correctly decided this issue. I do think Jones correctly decided this issue. We'd ask the court to affirm the Court of Appeals order reversing the trial court's denial of this motion.
Thank you. Rebuttal, support.
Thank you. You know, the word of the statute says any public facility and not a public facility. And the distinction there, St. V. Vail, this court held that, and it's cited in the briefs,
and at page 447, the court stated, and I'm paraphrasing it, any means all, not less than all. Now, that applies here, except for, of course, the second sentence of paragraph B means that here, if any, may actually mean less than all, but this wouldn't fall within that exception, this part. A apartment facility is a public facility, at least when it's located in a park or recreation area. There's no distinction in the statute writing it out. And the references to the prior statute and ignore the plain language of this statute. And when the court looks at the plain language and looks at it broadly, the liberal construction, I don't see how a public parking facility wouldn't come under the umbrella of any public facility. I did want to point out that in my opening brief, when I quoted Bertrand, I actually quoted it, it wasn't on this quote, but I quoted dictating Bertrand that actually is the opposite of the holding Bertrand, and the holding Bertrand was that waiver immunities, waivers are broadly construed, and somehow I got a quote in there that misquotes it. It actually quotes, but it quotes from data, and I apologize for that. And I guess I'd just like to finish up by saying that, if there's no other questions.
Mr. Boyle, I do have a question. And Mr. Lanfear kind of raised the specter, and it actually is applicable to the school my kids went to. There's a park here, and the school's here, but it's one parking lot. Does immunity apply in that parking lot?
You know, that kind of gets to the Stanley case in a way, I think. And I would say yes, but I would say yes because I would consider the parking lot as being not just ancillary to the school, but part of the school. People use the parking lot to go to the school, and unlike the prison, where the parking lot for the prison, for the visitor parking lot for a prison, like in PAC, it's not the purpose of a prison. The purpose of a prison is to house, felons from and to punish them. And so, the parking lot for a school is used by parents to go visit, parents to go pick up, teachers to go there, high schools, for kids to try to illegally smoke in the parking lot or something. But so I would say that it's not just ancillary to the building, but then it gets to depend on the if you look at from overhead the map of the school, is the parking lot on right next to the school, or is this parking lot on the other side of the school and just services the recreation area? Like at Cherry Creek High School, they got the I don't know if it's still called the stuff bowl, but when I was in high school, it was. And they have a special parking lot for that. It isn't just Cherry Creek High School's parking lot, but it's the parking lot for the Southern Bowl. And so then I would say that probably falls within the recreation area of the Southern Bowl. Can I answer your question?
Certainly an attempt.
Well, my concern, I'll just say my concern with all these kinds of cases is that we all have examples from our past or whatever where we have ideas of what this looks like. You described Cherry Creek High School. Justice Boatwright described where his kids go to school. Justice Mark has described Washington Park. We can do this all day. What can you help me with the principle that takes this all in? If you were one of us and you had to write this opinion, what principle would you come up with? Because it has to be a principle. It can't be, the Southern Bowl at Cherry Creek or Wash Park. So what principle are we talking about?
Justice Rice, can I clarify that by assuming principle to every part of the statute or just to the
one relevant to our case today.
I mean the public facility part?
Yes. Okay. That's probably enough to start with.
Well, it seemed like a much bigger question. And
sorry.
I only have a minute and a half left, and I thought that might take me an hour.
Oh, we'll give you a little bit.
So I would say that, to start, a good place to start would be the dissent in the Burnett case that came out this year. And that was a Court of Appeals case where they thought that the judge walked through the sections of the statute and looked at each one of these phrases fairly carefully. And there he talked about the second sentence in paragraph E, which I think is the principle that I would suggest you look at to guide what is a public facility, and it says any public facility, because there it limits the scope, it appears, to limit the scope to any natural condition of an unimproved area. So I would say, and then the next section, which is 106.1.5, I want to say, it refers to paragraph E and says something about landing fields in remote areas or something, and limits those out too. But besides that, I think the principle is that the legislature didn't intend to draw a line, except to carve out natural conditions of unimproved areas. So in the woods, if a tree falls on you, you know, the state park people can't be responsible for that. But, you know, in a playground, a zip line which you just slide on, you know, fast, you could kick your body up and touch the land on your head or something. The public, they could be responsible for that. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much. I want to thank both attorneys for your arguments. The cases, all these three cases, will be submitted on the briefs, and the court will be in recess until 1:30 this afternoon.